Hello and welcome to the program. Today we're beginning a series in the book of Colossians, and we're going to talk about the church at Colossus. In verse number 15 of chapter 4, it talks about the church which is in his house. It's important to understand that 2,000 years ago when these churches were meeting, they were small in number. Acts 5:42, we read, "In every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." In Acts 8, in verse 3, we read, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house." Romans 16:5, the church that was in their house. 1 Corinthians 16, the church that was in their house. And then in Colossians 4:15, as we read, the church which is in his house. And Philemon 1, verse number 2, the church in thy house. Now, it's important to understand that these churches were organized. They had a pastor, they had a purpose, and they had the structure that was designed in the Word of God for a local church. And so today, we're living in an age when society is corrupt, churches are going, Jesus said, "When I come, will I find faith?" That's where we're getting today. And it may be necessary, and it is in some cases, for people to say, "I just can't support that church anymore," and you meet together in your home. Now, if that's the case, that's fine. If you can't find a good church to go to and you get together and determine, "I'm going to be serving the Lord best I can." But don't call it a church. When we see these places, not only were these meetings in their house, but it was a church. And so, this age that we're living in, it may be necessary to just say, "Well, we'll get together with some Christians." But unless you have a pastor, and unless you have what is outlined in those pastoral epistles, you don't have a church. So we need to remember that. It's very important. And so we read in Colossians 1, 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, which of course is Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, he is first mentioned in Acts chapter 13, verse number 9, where he's called Paul. He's previously referred to as Saul, as he was here. But then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, the first time we hear about him, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. The last time his name is mentioned, in 2 Peter 3:15, Peter speaks about Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him. And so he was not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but God had given him special wisdom. Now, what are we talking about when we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, or as it is written 2,000 years ago, the Holy Ghost? You remember the story in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came and there was a rushing mighty wind. And it's to be filled with the Spirit is to be influenced like the wind would influence a ship by blowing into the sails and sending it in the direction that the wind is influencing it to go in. And so when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're simply talking about the Holy Spirit influencing us to go in the direction that He wants us to go in. We read in Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And so here we have a metaphor in both cases. The drunk, it says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Why? Because they're influenced by the booze. And so he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Don't be influenced with this wine. Be influenced with the Holy Spirit and go in the direction that the Holy Spirit wants you to go. And so Paul the Apostle, simply put, of Jesus Christ, he is filled with the Spirit, and he is doing what he does by the will of God. It wasn't a career opportunity for him. If he was, he made a dumb move here. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and gave it all up because he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He refers to the will of God 17 times. Very important. And he said, now I'm writing as they did when they introduced a letter in those days from me and from Timothy. He's writing to the faithful saints and brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have Paul and Timotheus. Now Timotheus is mentioned in the scripture 17 times. And Timothy, the same person, only translated Timothy rather than Timotheus, another 7 times. And then Timothy wrote the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so we see Paul and Timothy together in much of the New Testament. Now, he was led to the Lord by Paul the Apostle, and then he determined, I'm going to travel with him, and they became very, very good friends. Now, he's writing here to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, to the saints and faithful brethren. Two groups. Not all saints are faithful. Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith? Word faith means belief. Will I find people believing what they say they believe? Not many. That's not what's going to happen. And so he writes to the saints. Now, there's different categories. I've watched this over the years. I've seen these statistics work themselves out again and again. There's about 10% of our people in our fundamental churches who would try to do right even if they didn't have a pastor. They would have devotions with their family. They would try to lead their family in the things of God. 10% on the other end wouldn't do right if Jesus was the pastor. They're just not going to do it. Then in the middle, you have those who are saying, well, okay, if we're having a revival, maybe I'll go that way. If we're having a split, I'll go that way. They're sort of nowhere. They're just in between. Jesus said, I wish you were hot or cold. Years ago, I was preaching in a Christian school in Michigan, and it was a high school. There was about 100 students there. And the pastor was giving the announcements and the preliminaries, and I was going to speak to these young people, and they were, it was so disrespectful what was going on there. And so I was getting angry. I'm going to preach in a few minutes, but I'm getting angry. And I'm praying, Lord, would you please calm me down? But he didn't. And so I got up, and I put my Bible on the pulpit, and I said, you people make me sick. If I got anything in common with the Lord, it's that. You make him sick, too. I said, that heathen high school across the road, at least they are what they say they are. Are you sitting here acting like Christians and carrying on and so disrespectful when your pastor was preaching? I said, now, what we need to do is learn as Christians to pray more and to read the Bible more. And we all need to do that. And so I said, tell you what, never mind closing your eyes or bowing your head. If you're here and you're a Christian, and you know that you should be praying more and reading the Word of God more, I want you to stand up right now. Now, if there was 100 people there, 10 stood up. I mean, 10%. Right on. And I said, all right, why don't you come down here and let's pray together that God would help both of us and all of us to do a better job in the prayer department and in the Bible. And I said, maybe you're thinking you should have come, but you didn't. Maybe you should come and join us. Well, then they started coming. And I said, whoa, don't come down here now because it's the common thing to do. I mean, this is the popular thing to do. That's not the right reason to make a decision. I couldn't stop them. They kept coming. So when I look back, there was about 10 people back there, the young people, teenagers, had their arms folded, looking at each other, snarling and in disgust. And I thought, when I left that meeting, I thought, there's my statistics right there. There they are. And I've seen it over and over and over again in our local churches. If you got 100 people, you probably got 10 that really want to do right, and 10 wouldn't do right if Jesus was the pastor, and 80% they're neither hot nor cold. And so Paul writes to these folks at Ephesus or at Colossians here, and he says to the saints and the faithful, Colossians 1:7, he said Epaphras is faithful. In 4:7, he says Tychicus is faithful. In Colossians 4:9, he said Onesimus is faithful. He centers in on a few of them. He doesn't, perhaps it was more than that. Maybe not. Maybe that's the 10%. The churches were small. They were meeting in somebody's house. But there's the saints and there's the faithful brethren in Christ. In which group are you? And so then he said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a very interesting grace and peace. We're going to look at that in our next message. Be sure and tune in.